Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us here on Breaking the Silence with yours truly, Pastor Katie Pierce and Hope Alliance, Inc. And we are coming to you this evening, of course, with another very interesting topic. Our prayer is that we're giving out information that is useful and that will help you in your endeavors to get to a safe haven, or will help you in your endeavors to assist someone that you know who is going through domestic violence. Unfortunately, on tonight, we were hoping to have a guest on tonight, Deborah Johnson, a human resource manager with Goffin and Glassberg, and unfortunately, due to scheduling conflict, she was unable to join us on tonight. But we're going to go forward with what we have in hopes that in future, Deborah will be able to assist us and give you some pertinent information for domestic violence in the workplace. Domestic violence in the workplace, informationally, it is estimated that 1 million Americans fail to report to work each day due to injuries sustained in a family dispute. Over 1 million women are stalked each year in the U.S., and over a quarter of them report missing work or as a result of stalking. There are a lot of tentacles, if you will, that go with domestic violence, and it can hurt on a whole lot of levels. And our endeavor at Hope Alliance too is to assist you in getting the necessary information in order to help you to pursue a healthy and a loving life. That's our desire. Let's open with a word of prayer, and then we're going to get started. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come now before your sight and before your presence. We come now, O Lord God, asking, Father, that you would open our eyes, O Lord God, to behold wonderful things, O Lord God. We ask that you would open our ears, God, to receive this information, O Lord God. We pray now, God, that the right ears are hearing this program on today, O Lord God, and that it is a help to every need, O Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we just thank you for your word, O Lord God, and we understand, O Lord God, that domestic violence does not have any place in the kingdom, O Lord God. And we pray now, God, that you will assist us, O Lord God, as we stand firm and stand solid to eradicate domestic violence, O Lord God. We pray now, O God, for those who are going through domestic violence. We pray now, God, for those who are abusers, O Lord God, and they seeking a way out. We pray for children, O Lord God, who have to witness domestic violence. We pray now, O Lord God, for loved ones who are at their wit's end, O God. We pray now, O Lord God, that Hope Alliance will reach them, God, that this blog class will reach them, O Lord God, and give them information that will be useful, God, to assist them in this endeavor. God, we just thank you now in the name of Jesus. We praise you, and we give your name glory, for it is and always shall be. In the matchless name of Jesus, we pray and count this prayer as done by faith. It is so, and so it is. Amen. So on today, again, we are really trying to bring you some information that will be helpful. We do understand that domestic violence is a large problem in the body of Christ. And so we are doing what we can to eradicate that. My testimony, which will be coming out in some type of printed form soon, amen, will let you know why my heart's desire is to help those in the church who are going through domestic violence. And that's how Hope Alliance was birthed. Hope Alliance was birthed out of my own situation or life lesson as far as domestic violence in my home and what I had to endure. And in doing so or going through this, I found out that the church was ill-prepared to assist me as I went through that down that path or that life lesson. And so out of that, Hope Alliance was birthed. Hope Alliance, of course, is an acronym, and it's H-O-P-E, but it actually stands for Healing Opportunities Proposed for Everyone. And because of the fact that I found out during my endeavor with domestic violence that a lot of people were touched other than myself. My children were touched. My granddaughter was touched. Those in the church were touched, deacons, pastors. The extension of what I was going through touch so many lives and hurt them on so many levels that this was birthed, because everybody who gets witness to it, my family who became, you know, just tired of the repetition of going back, all of these things touched. And so I want to talk today about another area of my life that was touched, and that was the workplace. And going to work and being late for work because of having altercations at home and reporting work late. I thank God for Goffin and Glassberg, who were prepared to assist me in that endeavor. They actually saw to me getting the time off that I needed and really wanted me to become healthy, because they had invested much in me to be an employee at Goffin and Glassberg, and I think that the investment that they had in me was well worth them going to another level and investing in my personal life. Of course, there are those who don't have an employer who's sensitive to the needs of going through domestic violence, or perhaps are ill-prepared as well to handle that particular situation. So what do you do? What do you do when you are in domestic violence or in a domestic violence situation and you're trying to work, but you're going to work and you're scared to answer your phone because you're afraid that he's going to intimidate you and harass you at work? What do you do when you leave home and you feel like your only safe haven is work, and you look up and he's standing at your desk? What do you do in the workplace for domestic violence? Of course, we've seen a whole lot of situations in today's time and society where altercations have erupted on the workplace. So we want to go over some of the things that I've learned or things that I saw as far as domestic violence in the workplace. Let's go over again some of the statistics that are happening. Domestic violence doesn't stay home when its victims go to work. It follows them, resulting in violence in the workplace. Or it can spill over into the workplace when a woman is harassed by threatening phone calls, absent because of injuries, or less productive from extreme stress. With nearly one-third of American women, 31%, reporting being physically or sexually abused by a husband or boyfriend at some point in their lives, it is a certainty that in a mid to large size company, domestic violence is affecting employees. It is crucial that domestic abuse be seen as a serious, recognizable, and preventable problem, like thousands of other workplace health and safety issues that affect the business and its bottom line. A study on domestic violence survivors found that 74% of employed battered women were harassed by their partners while they were at work. Keep in mind, you go to work 5 days a week, you work 8 hours, given you may do some overtime, so a large portion of your life is spent at work. And then to compound a problem, a large portion is spent at work, but a large portion of that harassment and what you're going through is going to be at work also. When you have somebody who's calling you again, harassing you and asking you what time are you going to be leaving work, or, you know, why didn't you come home? And that's even more compounded on a payday. Come on, somebody. And so these are problems that, again, domestic violence doesn't stay home when you go to work. So the United States averaged 1.7 million violent victimizations per year were committed against persons of age 12 or over who were at work or on duty. Now, you may say at 12 years old, how can they be at work? Well, that stipulates or comes from a woman who's at work, and the husband or the perpetrator, if you will, the perpetrator is using her child to manipulate her or to get her to come home from work, and in turn the child receive some type of abuse, whether it's mental abuse, emotional abuse, or even physical abuse. And so that's why that age range is in there and is so young. Homicide was the second leading cause of death on the job for women within a year of, like, 2000. Homicide from a husband or a perpetrator. I want to say a perpetrator because it's not just husbands who are the batterers in domestic violence. So the perpetrator may go to the job and do some things, kill the wife, or we hear a lot now of murder-suicide, where the husband kills the wife, kills the child, kills himself. These things are evidence, and it's escalating. It seems like it's escalating, and it's because we really need to give ear and really, really, again, push for the rights or protection of people who are going through domestic violence, and it has to be taken seriously. This is a serious problem. Again, I've shared in a previous segment where I felt that the sharing of domestic violence in the month with cancer awareness, more emphasis is being given to cancer awareness than it is to domestic violence, when domestic violence is an uprising and an ongoing problem that needs special attention. I'm not trying to take away from cancer awareness, not by the least, but I am saying that more attention needs to be given to domestic violence. More than 1 million women were stalked each year in the U.S., and over a quarter of them report missing work as a result of stalking. 4 million of the 4 million workplace crime incidents committed against females, only 40% were reported to the police. 4 million workplace crimes, but only 40% were reported to the police. That's an alarming number, given the fact that certain procedures need to be in place at the workplace in order to secure the protection of the employee. But most people, unfortunately, and especially on the job, they really want you to just leave the workplace, and they're therefore feeling like they've removed the danger, when in fact they've only actually escalated a problem, if you will, because you have to take note that the person's personal health, their personal security should be above most, should be put in front of a lot of other things. So a national survey says 24% of women between the ages of 18 and 65, that's a big difference, between the age of 18 and 65 who have experienced domestic violence said the abuse caused them to arrive late at work or miss days of work. And so when we look at that, we understand that there have to be some measures set up at work in order for your safety to be first. Business leaders agree that domestic violence is a problem that affects their workplaces. 57% of senior corporate executives believe domestic violence is a major problem in society. One-third of them think this problem has a negative impact on their bottom line, and 40% say they were personally aware of employees and other individuals affected by domestic violence. Wow. One-third of them think the problem has a negative impact on their bottom line, and 40% say they were personally aware of employees and other individuals affected by domestic violence. That's alarming as well. 66% believe their company financial performance would benefit from addressing the issue of domestic violence among their employees. And so we have to begin to understand that domestic violence, again, this is another tentacle of domestic violence reaching out, going into the workplace, and what can be done. What can be done? Again, I've shared with you about how during domestic violence, how it's important for you to have code words for you, for your children, certain things that you say for your children in order for them not to go home, or your escape plan, to have an escape plan put in place where evidently it's necessary to have an escape plan, even on your job, something that you can do in order for you to be safe at your job. one of the things that I'm encouraging those of you who are listening, or those of you who know somebody who's going through domestic violence and perhaps is missing work or being late and their jobs are in jeopardy, I am really, really encouraging you to tell them to go to their supervisor. Go to somebody at their job and let them know that they're going through domestic violence. You've got to push past the shame of what people are going to say. You've got to push past the shame of people saying you should just walk away or why are you taking this. You've got to push past the shame of that so that you can secure your employment and be able to stay if at all possible. So the first thing to do you want to go to is go and report it to your supervisor. Let your supervisor know that you're in a domestic violence relationship. Even if there are no visible scars on you, let her know about the emotional or the financial abuse. Whatever it is that's going on, go to your supervisor and let that be known and documented. And then there are precautions that can take place or that can steps that can take place in order to secure your safety. But you've got to push past the shame of it and go and let somebody know. What I did find out in my research was that a company that has up to 49 employees are obligated by law to give you at least 6 weeks off because of domestic violence. Now, most times this 6 weeks off is going to be without pay, but that will secure you enough time in order for you to get to safety, secure you enough time to make some provisions, to get some things in order that you may need to get in order, and not worry about losing your job. Any company that's 50 people and over, they're obligated by law to give you at least 12 weeks off. 12 weeks off. Usually it's unpaid. But again, depending on what it is that you need to do to reestablish yourself, to get some footing, to get some footing and get yourself to a safe haven or whatever the case may be, and not have the added stress of worrying about your job, I would say that this is a good thing to be able to do. And so, again, by law, they are obligated to assist you in that endeavor as far as making sure that you are safe. So, again, if you're dealing with domestic violence, you have a job, you want to go to your supervisor, you want to go to someone in authority on your job and let them know what you're going through. You want to kind of sit back and begin to weigh the situation to find out, do I need time off? Can something just be changed on the workplace or within the workplace that will secure you being safe at work, such as changing your phone number at work, asking to be relocated or sitting in a different place at work so that your perpetrator, if he knows how to get to you, he won't be able to. Also, setting up security measures, whereas letting the building know at your office that this is a person that you don't want to have easy access to the job, and maybe giving them a picture so that they can stop them down at the desk or whatever the case is so that they can't get to you. But these things start with you going to your supervisor in order for it to reach out and go to the next level in order for you to be secure. Okay, so you may want to change your number at work. You may want to get a different extension once you've implemented some things. So these are just some of the things that you can do in order to ensure that you're going to be safe at the workplace. Another thing that you may want to consider once you left the perpetrator is to take a different route to work. Don't go the same way that you've always gone. Go a different route. Throw them off your track. You know what I'm saying? Go a different route and then begin to take different types of transportation, things of that nature, so that you can secure being safe. Now, let me just give this indemnity clause. That Hope Alliance, Inc. and Pastor Katie Pierce, we do not at all advocate, you know, divorce and splitting up families. These are preventative measures as a precaution that you want to do in order for that person to come to the realization that they need help. They need help, okay? And so you want to be able to get them in a position of knowing that there is help available to them and that, you know, your marriage, in the auspices of a marriage. You want to keep your marriage and your family intact, but that this person, like any other sickness, they need help. And so these are just some of the precautions that you can do for at work to be safe, to maintain and hold your job and not be fired because you didn't want to share what you were going through and you were just looking like, you know, you were being callous. You weren't reporting to work on time. You're missing too many days. You're on the phone too much. Now, you know, at work you got Big Brother, you know, phone logs are coming out and they see you on the phone too much and you haven't shared with them the details of what's going on. And so you end up getting wrote up. You end up, and that's just added stress that you don't need. Amen. And so these are just some of the things that you want to do. So we talked about changing our route as far as how we're going to get to work. We talked about letting our supervisor know that we're going through domestic violence so that some things can be put in place to secure or ensure your safety as well as the safety of your coworkers. And so those are some of the things, again, that you want to do in order to get safety at the workplace. Now, again, letting the security team know what's going on as far as on your job, the security team, letting them know that this is a person you don't want to have easy access to be able to come upstairs on the job or wherever you're working at. You don't want them to have easy access. So your security team needs to be made aware and alerted that this is a person that you don't want in the building. Of course, you probably have to give them a picture of who the person is so that they'll know, but again, this is for your safety. Don't feel like it's too much. Don't feel like you're putting people out. Your life is worth that. Come on, your safety is worth that. And so taking these extra precautions to ensure your safety is a good thing, all right? So you want to let them know about that. Another program that I think that you should reach out to on your job is the EAP program. Most jobs, not all of them, have an EAP program, an employee assistance program, where you can reach out to a counselor. You can reach out to a counselor and get counseling that you may need. Keep in mind, domestic violence does not just affect you. It affects all who are around you. And so when you're talking about an EAP program, get counseling for yourself. Get counseling for the abuser. Definitely, if you have children, please get counseling for them as well because you want to reverse some of the things that they've seen, some of the hurt, because statistically it is said, and I've said it repeatedly on this program, that a person who sees domestic violence often grows up to become perpetrators themselves, batterers themselves, and we want to reverse that through counseling. Through counseling, you want to get some counseling through the EAP program. It's free to you. Most employers will pay for you to be able to go and get counseling. Utilize these programs. I've shared once before that a friend of mine, when I was going through domestic violence and I had gone through the EAP program, I had set up some counseling for my ex-husband and myself to go for counseling, and he didn't want to go. And the best thing that my friend ever could have told me was, then you go. And then I began to go on my own to get counseling, and that assisted me with the courage and just the taking control, having that control back to be able to say that my life is worth it or I don't need to go through this. And so these are just some of the things, again, that you want to be able to utilize in the workplace. You want to let it be known. Tell somebody. I've often said that the biggest weapon that domestic violence has is silence. The biggest weapon that domestic violence has is silence. Give domestic violence a voice. Tell somebody what you're going through. Tell them. Am I saying plaster it all over the city? No. But tell a trusted friend what you're going through. Get that weight off of you. Talk to somebody. Talk to your pastor. Talk to your women's coordinator. Talk to somebody. Let somebody know what you're going through, that you're going through domestic violence, and that you want to get help. It's not God's will for you to be in violence. One of the scriptures that we shared previously is in Hebrews 13:3, and it said, remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourself were suffering. And that's the church's responsibility, to assist you in this endeavor, to pray you through, to you know, beseech God on your behalf and on the behalf of your family. And so we are here for you. We are here for you. So one of the things that I want to talk to you about also, and I received this pamphlet from the city of Chicago. Those of you who want more information about domestic violence in the workplace, whatever it is that you need some more information about, please email us your address and we will mail this information to you. You want to email us at healing@hopealliance.com. Email us at healing@hopealliance.com and give us your address and we'll mail this information to you. We have several pamphlets that we can get to you that will assist you. Or if you don't want us to send it to your home for concern, send us your work address. We can mail it to you at your job and then you won't have to worry about it being in the wrong hands. So one of the things that I got from the city of Chicago is called a Survivor's Guide to Safety Plan in the Workplace, Protecting Yourself and Your Job. And so, again, it gives us information about what it is that we can do when we're going through domestic violence and how to set up a safety plan. The most dangerous time for many victims of domestic violence is when they are thinking about their activity or thinking about or actively trying to end the relationship. A personal safety plan is the way for you to identify strategies to protect yourself during this dangerous time. Inform those you trust about your situation. Develop an emergency signal with a neighbor or a friend that will alert them to call the police. Have a backpack. These are things that we've talked about, your escape plan. Have a backpack with your necessary information, Social Security card, paycheck stubs, passports, driver's license, things of that nature. Try to document the abuse. Make police reports. Include pictures of your injuries and for medical files. Consider obtaining an order of protection. This is a court order mandating that your abuser stay away from you, your home, and your place of employment, your children's school. All can be listed as protected places on your order of protection. Plan an escape route and practice it with your children. I shared with you before that my children and had a code word. They had a code word. If I called them at school and gave them this code word, they knew to meet me at the safe haven. There was a designated place that we had already talked about that they were to meet me at. So how do you talk to your employer about your situation? Although there are steps you can take on your own to increase your safety, it may be beneficial for you to tell your employer or your supervisor about your situation. If you do decide to talk to your employer about the abuse, here are some things you may want to consider. Ask your employer to keep your situation confidential. There may be times, however, when they feel it is necessary to discuss what you have told them with other employees. For example, if you are afraid of your batterer, that he may harm you at work, they may need to inform others to ensure the safety of the office. For instance, going to the security team and making others aware of the situation and trying to be as discreet as they possibly can, but also trying to ensure the safety of you as well as the safety of your coworkers. Familiarize yourself with the office's employee policies and talk to a lawyer or an advocate if you feel your employment status is in jeopardy. There is a risk that your employer may believe that you must be fired. There is a risk that your employer may believe you must be fired in order to keep the workplace safe. Inform your employer about the steps you are already taking to keep yourself safe and help them recognize the crucial role that they play in your safety plan. Again, I have to just again give praise to God and thankful for working at Guilford and Glassburg, and the fact that when I shared my information that they were open. Their first desire wasn't to fire me. Their first desire was for me to be safe and to do what was necessary in order for me to get past that particular roadblock in my life. And so I am, again, I'm grateful to Guilford and Glassburg, to Deborah Johnson, who reached out to me and assisted me during this endeavor. There may be changes on your employer. There may be changes that you and your employer can make on the job which can improve your safety. Again, for instance, change your phone number or your extension. Route your calls through the office receptionist so that they can't do a direct dial to you. Keep your home address and phone number confidential. Request a transfer to a different desk, a different department, a shift, or a work site. Have someone escort you in and out of the building. Lock the door to your office of your department. Register your order of protection with the security personnel. Post a picture of your batterer at the security desk and have the guards prevent them from entering the building. Name your place of work on your order of protection. So we have to begin to, again, to push past, I'm going to say it again, push past the pride. Put past the feeling like, you know, you failed in some kind of way, and let somebody know there are options for you. There are options that are available to you, but again, you've got to reach out and tell somebody. Another thing that we've already talked about was change your commute to work. Give some serious thought on how you can get to and from work, particularly how far the train station, the bus stop, the parking lot is from your job. If your current form of transportation is risky, consider changes that would make it safer. For example, commute with a coworker, vary the route and time you go to work, have someone walk with you to your car or to the train, if at all possible, with your child care. These are things that you want to do to implement safety. Again, you want to look for your safety. You want to look for the safety of your children while you're in prayer. While you're in prayer for God to begin to heal your wounds, heal you, make you a better person. And you also want to be praying for the perpetrator. You want to be in prayer asking God to give them the mindset to know first and foremost that they need help, and then that they'll reach out and get the help that they need. Taking leave from your work for your own serious health conditions. When you get to a point where you need to take a leave of absence from work because of this situation, have your worker, your employee to know when. Give them a nice notice that you're contemplating taking a leave of absence because of this situation. You want to make some changes. Perhaps you just want to distance yourself from the whole area for a little while until things have calmed down and things of that nature. So you want to give them time to make some arrangements so that you can take a leave of absence. You don't want to just abruptly do it, if at all possible, okay? So you want to talk to your employer. Let them know that you desire to take a leave of absence. The Illinois Victim Security Safety Act. The Illinois Victim Security and Safety Act permits eligible employees who work for an employer with 50 or more employees to take unpaid leave from employment to address domestic violence, dating violence, sexual assault, or stalking. The Act covers employees who are victims of domestic violence or who have a family household member who is a victim of domestic violence. That's important information to know. When I was going through it my own self prior to my employment at Guilford and Glassburg, I did not realize this particular VESA. VESA, it's V-E-S-S-A, and it stands for Victim Security and Safety Act. Then that it covers you, or if somebody is living in a household with you and they're going through domestic violence, you, if you're working, can still take or utilize this act to take time off to get some things in order. It provides for taking up to a total of 12 work weeks of unpaid leave for your work during the 12-month period to seek medical attention, victim services, counseling, safety planning, legal assistance, court proceedings, relocation, and other specific purposes. Covered employees may require certification of the need for such leave, but may not suspend group health plan benefits during the leave. That's important to know. Covered employees may require certification of the need for such leave, but may not suspend group health plan benefits during the leave period. The leave may be taken intermittently or on a reduced work schedule. Employees may use paid leave, such as vacation time, in lieu of an unpaid leave. So if you got some vacation time that you can take to get some things together, then you want to do that. But if not, then you want to be able to utilize this unpaid for the Victim Security and Safety Act. This 12-week leave is not in addition to the unpaid leave permitted by the Federal Family and Medical Leave Act. So you have some laws out there that are stipulated to assist you. One of the biggest weights or worries for those who are going through domestic violence, and that added weight of not knowing if your job is secure, you know, not wanting to lose your job over it. I want you to make sure that you are taking the necessary steps in order for you to maintain and keep your job, but at the same time, you be safe and those around you to be safe. So these are some things that we want to share with you on today. Battered women who participate and the welfare to work programs are affected by domestic violence in the same ways as other batterers. Women who work, being subjected to physical beatings and emotional abuse at home, have serious effects on women's ability to perform their job. Such abuse can also cause a battered woman to miss or be late from work on their job. Under the new welfare law, families can only receive benefits for up to 5 years. In addition, many states, including Illinois, have made participation in a welfare-to-work program a condition of receiving welfare benefits unless a person is excused. These time limits and work requirements can pose many problems for victims of domestic violence whose more immediate concern is their physical safety. And so here we have a situation where you're in the work welfare to work program and you're taking time off, you're jeopardizing it. Not only could you get fired from your job, but you're in lieu of losing your benefits and things of that nature. These are added stress that you don't need. So again, give voice to domestic violence. Let somebody know what you're going through. Reach out. Get the help that you need so that you can be covered and so that your family can be fair. Some of the things that I wanted to share, I was looking at another site, and it was asking some questions about domestic violence. It says, I'm currently dealing with domestic violence situation and afraid I will be fired from my work. Do I have legal protection? There is currently no federal law that protects any victim of domestic violence in the workplace or permits them to take time off to deal with it. This has led a number of states to pass domestic violence leave laws, which give victims of domestic violence the right to take time off for certain reasons. Some states also allow victims of and witnesses to a crime to take time off to attend court proceedings and law. And those are the things that we just went over with the VESA program. I am discriminated against at work for being a victim of domestic violence, sexual assault, or stalking. What rights do I have? First of all, I want to say that I think that it's really, really a shame that somebody who's going through domestic violence has to be looked upon, or that they're the object of ridicule in the workplace and things of that nature. That's a person who is desensitized to the hurt that you're going through. Domestic violence is not the victim's fault, and we shouldn't have to, or they shouldn't have to endure being ridiculed or being talked down to or in any shape, form, or fashion receive ill treatment from the workplace. And so I think that's a sad situation. Become informed about domestic violence. It's easy for someone who is on the outside to look at someone who's going through DV and say, why don't you just leave? That's easier said than done. You don't even understand the ramifications that's associated with a person that's going through DV. And so become knowledgeable. What can do you do to help them? And we're talking about true assistance, not help them in their face, and you're talking about them or whispering about them behind their backs. First of all, we're talking about it from a Christian standpoint. From a Christian standpoint, remember what I said in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 13:3. It says, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering, you don't know what you would do. So make sure you're reaching out to them in a way that's going to benefit them, in a way that's going to help them to get to a place that they need to be. Discrimination that occurs because an individual is or is perceived to be a victim of domestic violence includes any negative action against the victim of domestic violence and can include being fired, harassed, not hired for a job due to domestic violence. This discrimination may be the result of having to take time off work to participate in or prepare for court. Discrimination may also result from a disruption or a threat of disruption in the workplace by someone who has committed or threatened domestic violence against an employee. If you feel that you have experienced discrimination, you may have rights under sex discrimination laws or wrongful discharge laws. Most employers are employees at will. This means they can be fired for any reason and or for no reason. However, there are some exceptions to this rule. One exception is that an employer cannot fire a person for a discriminatory reason. For more information on sex discrimination or wrongful discharge law, see Legal Momentum's Employment Rights for Victims of Domestic Violence or Sexual Abuse. Sex discrimination and wrongful discharge law may be helpful because termination from work due to domestic violence could be a wrongful discharge. Furthermore, discrimination based on domestic violence issues can be within the scope of gender discrimination as well. And so you want to, again, let somebody know if you feel like you're being discriminated against because you're going through domestic violence, get in touch with an attorney. Reach out to an advocate, domestic violence advocate program, Hope Alliance. There are other programs that we've shared with you as well. And let me just give you that information again. You want to reach out to the Crisis Center of South Suburbia. Their number is area code 708-429-7255. Crisis Center of South Suburbia. They're in Tinley Park, 708-429-7255. Give them a call. Another number that we suggest that you call is South Suburban Family Shelter. Their number is 708-794-2140. Again, that number is 708-794-2140. There are laws that are being implemented or laws that are in place to help protect you, to get you what you need so that you don't have that added stress of worrying about your job. Another question that was asked, it says, I quit my job to make sure my abuser couldn't come to work to attack me or to create disruption in the workplace. Can I collect unemployment insurance? Although eligibility for benefit varies from state to state, to collect unemployment insurance, you may have good cause for quitting your job or being fired. Generally, good cause is something that is seriously affects your ability to perform your job. So you want to let them know, you know, when you go and file for unemployment that you had to leave your job because your life was in danger or you felt like your life was being threatened. And so that's a good cause for unemployment. So you want to definitely look into that. Also, for more information on the laws in each state, see Legal Momentum State Law Guide, Unemployment Insurance Benefits, which is available at www.legalmomentum.org. Again, that website is www.legalmomentum.org. You want to go to them. They can give you some more information that will assist you in that endeavor. Another thing, What employment policies might help to protect me in the workplace against domestic violence discrimination? That's something you want to look in your book, although it may not be specific, but you want to look in your policy book to find out about leave procedures, again, to find out if it's an EAP program, collective bargaining agreements, sexual harassment policies, domestic violence or workplace violence policies. You want to look in there and find out what you can do. Again, talk to your employer. Talk to your supervisor. Get the help that you need. Most people are sensitive. Most bosses are sensitive to that need. And your health and your safety and the security of the firm are foremost in their lives. And so they want to make sure that you're protected, again, and they want to make sure you're safe as well as your coworkers are safe. And so these are some things that we are just advocating that you do in order for you to ensure and make sure that you are safe. So, again, if you need the information that we've been sharing with you on today, again, email us at Hope Alliance Inc., www.hopealliancinc.com. That's our website. You can go on there and request the information, or you can email us at healing@hopealliancinc.com. healing@hopealliancinc.com. You're welcome to email us. So we just wanted to, again, share with you some of the things that we needed to share with reference to violence in the workplace and what you can do to protect yourself. And we hope that what we've shared with you thus far has been good and that it's been informative for you. We hope that the information that we've given you, if it's not you, it could be somebody that you know. And if it's somebody that you know, please share this information with them. Share our website with them and let them know that there is hope, that we're here to assist them and to help them go forward with life, to get to a safe place in their life. That's what we're here at Hope Alliance to assist you in, to do. So I'm going to end the segment right now or right here with that information. Again, it is our earnest desire that we'll be able to have the human resources manager of Goffin and Glassberg to call in so that you can ask some pertinent questions. But I would like to ask that you would do this for me. If you have any questions that you would like for us to present to her when we do get her on the show, why don't you send those questions to us as well? Another segment that we want to talk about or that we're looking forward in doing upcoming, we want to have a segment on domestic violence in school, A girlfriend of mine was sharing with me today a young man, 17 years old, who took his life because of a breakup with a young lady, and he took his life. These things are real. These things are real. We can't say that somebody's too young or what do they know about love and things of that nature. So we want to talk about that as well. And our desire is to look for a counselor, perhaps at a school, to talk about some of the things that they've encountered in high schools, in grammar school, and also bullying that's going on in grade school. And so these are all, again, tentacles of domestic violence. These are things that we want to address. These are things that we want to give you good information to assist you so that you don't have to endure domestic violence on any form, on any level. We want to be able to eradicate domestic violence. And so, again, our desire is first to answer the cry, the silent cry in the pew, in the churches where it's going through. If this has been a blessing to you, will you please go to our Facebook account, go to our Facebook page, rather. Our Facebook page is Hope Alliance, Inc. on Facebook. That's H period, O period, P period, E period, Alliance on Facebook, and like our page. Also, we will be putting this segment on our Facebook page so that you can share it with somebody who you may feel needs this information. Again, we trust that you would give us some feedback. We trust that you would give us, even if it's feedback that you see They may appear to be criticizing us, but it can be helpful to us to be better able to give you information. So please give us some feedback on Facebook as well. You are welcome to call us if you have any questions or you need any assistance in your endeavors. Please call us at area code 708-574-2533, and we'll make ourselves available to you to assist you to get counseling, to assist you to get to a safe haven, whatever we can do at Hope Alliance to assist you to make sure that you are safe, that your family is safe. That's what we're here to do. So you're welcome to call us, email us, go to our page, our website, and let us know that you need assistance, or if you're reaching out for a friend as well. Again, one of my best friends was the one who assisted me to get to that next level that I needed to get to in order for me to be free from domestic violence. You no longer have to suffer silently in the pew. Give domestic violence a voice. Say something to somebody. Amen. So this has been our segment on today, domestic violence in the workplace. And again, we have been addressing some issues for concern and cause, and we want all of you to know that our desire is to free you. Our desire here at Hope Alliance is to give voice, to domestic violence. Hope Alliance is an investment, or we invest for safer homes, safer communities, and a safer world. And so if you know of somebody who perhaps needs assistance, we're here to break the silence. We're here to break the silence. We're here to give victims, or turn victims into victors, turn the violent into the vigilant, and the bruised into a beacon. Hope Alliance. Healing opportunities proposed for everyone. Thank you for joining us on tonight, and we look forward to hearing from you on next week, next Thursday, at the same time, 7:30 Central Standard Time. Until then, let's close with the word of prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, O Lord God. We thank you, O Lord God, for this segment. We thank you for those who are listening, O Lord God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray now, God, that you would quicken the hearts of those, O Lord God, who are going through domestic violence, who are feeling alone, O Lord God. We pray now, God, that they will know that you promised that you would never leave them nor forsake them, that they'll know, God, that you are with them, even in what they're going through right now, even though it looks like the most tumultuous situation that they've ever had to endure, God. You are with them, O Lord God. You are a very present help in the time of trouble, O Lord God. We pray for those, O God, who are batterers, O Lord God, and they don't even understand why they're angry, O Lord God. We pray now, O Lord God, that you will assist them and help them, O Lord God, to know that you desire that they come out of that situation, that they come out of that lifestyle, God. We pray, God, that they'll understand that you examine the righteous, but the wicked and those who love violence, you hate, O Lord God. Help them to understand that they want to come off your most hated list, O Lord God, and that they want to turn to a life of repentance and get the healing that they need, O God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray for the children, O Lord God, whose eyes are seeing some things, O Lord God, that are unconscionable, O Lord God. We pray now in the name of Jesus Christ that you would guard young eyes, God, that you would guard young ears, O Lord God. In the name of Jesus Christ, God, we pray now, God, for angelic protection, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, O Lord God. And we do love you and bless you, O Lord God, because you said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. So we thank you for being deliverance in the need of your people, O God. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we pray, and we count this prayer as done by faith. It is so, and so it is in Jesus' name. Amen, and amen, and amen. I see you all next week. Until then, may God's greatest and God's best be yours. Good night, everyone.